Yesterday here at Cool Springs during our Saturday meeting, I endeavored to preach some from the second chapter of 2 Timothy, where Paul was instructing the young preacher to consider what he had to say and to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He encouraged him to endure hardness as a good soldier. He encouraged the young brother to suffer willingly for Christ's sake and to study the Bible to show himself approved unto God. 2 Timothy, as well as 1 Timothy, was written by the aged apostle Paul to a young brother that he loved, a man God had called to preach. So 1 and 2 Timothy are written to a young preacher. But, beloved, I really believe that 1 and 2 Timothy will help all of us if we will study it and consider what is said in these books. This morning, I want to call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the next chapter in this verse, where Paul would begin in chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also." Now, there are many things that you and I need to know, many things that are in Scripture. The things that Paul had already written to Timothy are things that we all need to know. But now, Paul is going to be dealing with some other things that we need to know. "This know also." In addition to what Paul has already taught us, we need to know this. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word "perilous" there means dangerous. And Paul is saying that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is something that we all need to be aware of. The Bible really teaches us that the human race is in decline and in decay. And we can see that all around us. When you watch the news, you see that the human race is in trouble all over the world. Whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Central America or Asia, whether it's Europe or here in America, there is great evil all around us and great danger everywhere. And rather than the human race getting better and better and better and headed for a utopia on this earth, the Bible teaches us that the human race is waxing worse and worse. And we see that. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Sam, why bring that up?" Well, beloved friends, a healthy dose of reality will keep us in a sound mind. In other words, when we are being taught that everything's just going to get better and better and better, the government's going to solve all our problems, the United Nations is finally going to bring around world peace, the world of medicine is going to solve all the health problems, we're all finally going to get rich. That's just not scriptural. And if you have that attitude and you see all around you that perilous times are with us, that can be very discouraging. So a healthy dose of reality will help to keep us in a sound mind. We need to understand that. And Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, Paul has just given us a list of things that are very current and up to date. If y'all watch the news, you'll see all of that every day on the news. And we need to understand, now, we're not thankful that the world is getting worse and worse. We're sad about that. But it is true. And it's not God's fault. Let's not blame God with the decay that is taking place in this world. It's man's fault. It's us. We're the problem. And notice, if you will, in the verses that I've just read, Paul mentions three things that men love. First of all, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. We become our own fan club. Our own paparazzi. You know, people are constantly taking pictures of themselves, selfies. I saw a picture the other day of a guy, I think he was up the Grand Canyon, and he had one of those poles, and he put his cell phone on that pole, and he was going to take a picture of himself and fell off. Now, I don't guess there's anything wrong with taking a selfie, but one or two might be enough. But people just take them by the dozens, and they keep admiring themselves. They lovers of their own selves. Just get carried away with ourselves. And Paul says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of self. And then covetous. And that word covetous basically means lovers of money. They're always covetous, wanting more and more and more and more of what they've already got enough of. They love money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of what? All evil. The love of money, not money. Money in itself is not evil, but the love of it, the craving for it, is the root of all evil. And then, let's notice down in, in verse 4, he says, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying something in life. Something pleasurable is fine. If you enjoy a good meal, if you enjoy watching a sports event or playing golf, nothing wrong with that. But when you're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and beloved, I can tell you that this country is obsessed with pleasure. We just want more and more and more pleasure. Lovers of pleasures. So Paul mentions three things that men are lovers of. Instead of loving God and loving one another, we are lovers of our own selves, and we are lovers of money, and we are lovers of pleasure. All that's right there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beloved, as God's children in this present age, in these last days, need to understand we're living in dangerous times, danger everywhere. And we see it certainly on every side. Now, I want to notice with you all this morning, for the rest of the time we have together, another thing that will be prominent in the last days, and that is unthankful. Rather than people just being full of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that we have, Paul says in the last days men will be unthankful. And you know, in Romans chapter 1, I may go with you and notice a verse of scripture there. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the apostle would say, when he's describing the decay of the human race, he would say, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So unthankfulness was sort of the beginning of the decay in the Roman Empire. And beloved, you and I need to watch out and make sure that we're not unthankful people. We want to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Let's go back just a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's notice something that the Apostle Paul said to the young brother Timothy. He would say in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is what? What is godliness with contentment? It's great gain. How many of y'all want a gain in life? Well, Paul says godliness with contentment is great gain. Our president is wanting to make America great again. And I hope him success and maybe helping our economy and things of that nature. But I can tell you, what we desperately need in this country is to make America godly again. Would anybody agree with that? There was a time in our history when our people had much higher moral values than we have in our day and time. Beloved, we need to go back to the moral standards of God's divine word. God gave us the Ten Commandments, not as 10 suggestions or a multiple choice, just choose one of them that you'd like to keep. He gave them to us to obey, to keep. And you and I and our world would be a lot better off if we were going by the Ten Commandments. They won't get you into heaven. You can't keep them good enough to get you into heaven. Jesus did that for us. Amen? He kept them all perfectly. But you and I will be much better off in this world if we will try to live a godly life, a life of godliness. And that is trying to please God and do what God wants us to do and pray about everything and ask for God to guide us, for His will to be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Beloved, here is a great prayer we all ought to be praying daily. Lord, make me the person You want me to be. Amen? Would y'all agree with that? Or do y'all just want to do it your way? Try it. But I can tell you, God's way is far superior. God, help me to be the person You want me to be. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to You. So Paul is saying to this young brother, Timothy, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. It would be a blessing if America, if the majority of American people were trying to live godly lives and learning to be content with what God has blessed us with in this life. You know, Paul would say in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. How many of y'all brought anything with you when you were born? Did y'all bring a suitcase? Did you bring some food? How many of y'all brought anything with you? No, you came into this world naked. You didn't bring anything with you. And Paul says it's sure you're not going to carry anything out with you. How many of y'all are planning on taking a lot with you when you leave this world? You know, I was thinking about it this morning. Our dear friends out here in the cemetery, they don't need but about 6 feet. They don't need an acre or half an acre or 1,000 acres. All they need is a burial plot. That's what we're going to need when we leave this world. Listen to what Paul said. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Nelda and I watched a movie last night that was made back in 1955 about the building of a pyramid in Egypt. One of the great pharaohs was going to build this pyramid, and it was going to store all of his riches. And he wanted somebody to design the pyramid so that no thieves could ever break in to his burial chamber and steal his gold, his silver, his precious stones, and all of that. And Of course, it was an interesting movie. But you know what? They never did bury any of those pharaohs in those magnificent pyramids. You know what they ended up doing? Burying the pharaohs in the Valley of the Kings, which was far away from Cairo and from where the pyramids were, because the pharaohs were so afraid that thieves were going to break through and steal all their stuff. And so they chose to be buried in the Valley of the Kings, which was far away, hidden away, where they thought thieves would never find those treasures. But you know what? Every grave of every pharaoh was found and robbed by grave robbers except one, King Tut, who died at the age of 24. His grave was never found until the last century. And when I was in Egypt, I got to visit down in that part of, I got to go to the Valley of the Kings, and we went into King Tut's grave. I'm telling you, those Egyptians were brilliant. Nobody even knows today how they built the pyramids. That's still a great mystery. But when you go into King Tut's grave, it's a long, long tunnel underground. And in there, they found King Tut. They found his mummified body. They found incredible wealth. I mean, the archaeologists were shocked to find so much gold and silver and precious stones for a young pharaoh, 24 years of age. All of that now is in the museum, in Cairo, and I got to see all of that. But beloved, those pharaohs thought, we're going to take it with us. You know how much they took with them? Not one penny of it did they take with them. Not one penny. And Paul is making it very clear, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we're not going to carry anything out. So, you know what he says? He says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I think what Paul is simply saying to this young preacher is this. I want you to learn to be content with the necessities of life. If you're blessed with food and raiment and shelter, learn to be content with that. See, if you go up in verse 5, Paul would say about false prophets and false teachers and preachers, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. We have many preachers in America today advocating the prosperity gospel, that if you'll just have more faith, you'll have more riches. You'll end up living in a mansion and driving fancy cars and all of that. And a lot of those preachers are multi-millionaires. If you'll search them on Google, a lot of them have $100-200 million. A lot of them have jet planes. There was a preacher in Atlanta, and the church gave him a jet plane that cost $75 million. There was a sister in Birmingham in our church there who heard about that, and she bought me a jet plane. I could hold it in my hand. But she said, Brother Sam, we want you to have a jet. So she gave me a little jet plane, and I still got it to this day. But listen. The religion of this world has gone crazy over money and riches. And the churches that are usually growing in numbers are those that are promising health and wealth. More faith, and you'll just have good health. You won't get sick. You'll be rich. Paul said, from such, turn away. Those are lies. Those are deceptions. God has never promised that to his children in this world. Never has. Now, he's promised to provide for us, and I'd say he's doing a good job of it. What about y'all? Anybody in the house today don't have enough to eat? Let us know, and we'll feed you out back in a few minutes. Any of y'all don't have enough clothes to wear? You probably don't have enough closets to hold the clothes you got. Amen? Beloved, God is providing for us. And Paul says God is rich, has given us richly all things to enjoy. God wants his children to enjoy their time on earth. He's not starving us to death. I mean, God is providing. How many of y'all enjoy vegetables and fruits and a good T-bone steak? I see a few hands going up. God provides that for us. He could have. Now, God is the creator, could have fixed it where there was nothing on this earth to eat but possum and collard greens. Now, I tell you, I wouldn't have any problem with weight if that was all there was to eat. But that would have, it would have been more than we deserve. But look what God has given us. You go to the S&S cafeteria in Macon and just walk down, and brother, there it is, a world of food. We have restaurants all over the country, and we're blessed, and God wants his people to enjoy the blessing. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. He's a good God. He gives us sunshine every day. Doesn't charge us for it. We got 3 inches of rain the other day in Cochran, and I never got a bill from heaven. God is a good God. And you and I need to acknowledge that. And we ought to, our hearts ought to just be full and overflowing with thanksgiving for God's blessings. But one of the characteristics of the end of the age is unthankfulness. People wanting more and more and more and more of what we've already got. See, beloved, gratitude will help us to realize that what we've got is more than enough. But one of the characteristics of our age is, as Paul would say, this know also. And beloved friends, these characteristics that he mentions here are sins that are very prevalent in our culture today. And I want to tell you, beloved, if you're not content with what you've got, it may be because you're comparing what you've got to what everybody else has. I have a new friend in Uganda. He calls us on WhatsApp. And they have a group of about 20 people that have come to Uganda where they are from the Congo. The Congo is the most dangerous place in Africa. Horrible place. Gangs are everywhere. The government is totally corrupt. And the people are being starved to death or persecuted or just horrible things going on. And these 20 people were able to get out of the Congo and come to Uganda where my friend Brother Kenneth is. And the children are in rags. And we were blessed as a church to send them $500 the other day to help them buy school supplies and things of that nature. And he sent me a picture of these children barefooted, but they were just waving their books and their pencils up in the air, and they were so happy. See, you and I, if we compare ourselves to multimillionaires, we're probably going to be discontented. Let's not spend our lives comparing ourselves to other people. You may be cute, you may be good looking, but I guarantee you there's somebody on Facebook better looking than you are. You say, now, Brother Sam, that's offensive to say that. Well, I can guarantee you there's always going to be another beauty queen coming down the aisle, right? Don't compare your appearance to other people's appearance. Listen, there's brethren in this church today. If I compared myself to them, I'd be depressed. I'm just a little short old man. Right? Thank y'all for not amening that, but it's the truth. I mean, let's just face it. I'm 76, I'm old, and I tell you, this sickness I just had, boy, it was a rough one. It was a stinger. I'm still weak from it. But listen, I don't want to compare myself to brethren that are, you know, younger and more attractive. And I want to be thankful for what God has blessed me with. and be thankful He's blessed you with what you've got. I tell you how to multiply your happiness. Instead of seeing your neighbor driving up in a brand new Mercedes and parks it next to your old trap, your old rattle trap, instead of that, just thank God He has blessed your neighbor with a wonderful new car. Wouldn't that just multiply your happiness? See, when you see other people being blessed and you love them like you love yourself, your joy and your happiness will just be multiplied. Instead of being envious and jealous and comparing yourself, just thank God. Amen? I wish I'd have got 100 amens on that. But some of you did not. But I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul isn't saying that you shouldn't go out and try to better yourself. All these graduates, I hope they can get good jobs. And I'm glad to hear a lot of young men are skipping college and going to these trade schools, these technical schools, and learning a trade instead of wasting their time. Listen, college is fine for people that need it, but a lot of us, you just need to learn a skill and go to work. Amen? And we ought to be praying for our young people that they won't be trying to outdo anybody else. Now, I understand in sports, you're going to try to win. I get that. But listen, wouldn't it be something if somebody in the sports world actually thanked God that the other team did so well? Now, that would be like a miracle, wouldn't it? But you see, when you've got the love of God in your heart, you can rejoice at other people's success. Am I wasting my time up here? And I know I'm preaching to a bunch of sinners, and I know y'all are listening to a sinner, but I can tell you, by God's word, we can get above the standards of this world, and we can live like Christ taught us to live. Amen? And be happy. Happiness is knowing what you have is enough. Gratitude is knowing you got more than enough. And if somebody needs it, we'll share with them in this life. What a blessing it is, beloved, to live that way. Listen, we do live in a broken world. We lose our loved ones. That's going to happen. We all going to lose people we love. Our children are going to grow up and maybe move away. Our health can break. Yes, we do live in a broken, dying world. But I want to just tell you, God is good. He's faithful. His blessings are beyond counting and measure. And after this life is over, y'all know what's waiting on you? Heaven itself. And I want to close with this thought. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and he was in heaven, though for your sakes he became poor, Jesus came down the stairway of glory and was born in a barn, laid in a feeding trough, lived among poor people all his life, and finally died the horrible death of Calvary, so that he could pay our sin debt in full and give us riches." So Paul would say, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, listen, you know, preachers always say, if you don't take anything else away, get this one. I'm going to say that. Y'all listen now. This is going to be the most important verse I've used today from 2 Corinthians 8. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many of us love grace? Amazing grace. What is grace? It's an undeserved favor from God. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul is going to give us a Bible definition of grace. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," "though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." And let me just tell you all this morning, when Jesus went to Calvary to die, he didn't have anything. He didn't own any land. He didn't own a house. The only thing he owned, when he rode into Jerusalem, he had to borrow a donkey. He made all the donkeys, but as our Savior, he became poor. And the only thing he owned was the robe on his back, and it was stolen from him by the Roman soldiers, and they gambled for it at the foot of the cross. And my Savior and your Savior hung up there in naked shame so that he could make us rich beyond measure in all eternity. Beloved friends, what the pharaohs of Egypt had, they wouldn't even be pocket change for heaven. What's waiting on you and me in glory are mansions. You know, Paul, Jesus said that, didn't he? In my Father's house are many shacks, tents. No, many mansions. Listen, did y'all hear that? That's one of my favorite verses at funerals. I like to tell the family, I know y'all are grieving over the loss of your loved one, but don't you grieve for them. No, sir. Grieve for yourselves because you've lost them, but I want to don't grieve for them because already in glory. Sister Ernestine, bless her soul. When that body went to sleep the other night in death, that spirit left and flew away to heaven. To the Father's house. Are y'all with me? In my Father's house are many mansions. See, when you and I by faith live with that on our minds, it helps us not to be covetous, not to be lovers of ourselves or lovers of pleasures inordinately, but it just makes us want to be close to our Lord and close to one another. You and I can help America by living a godly life. Not good enough to go to heaven. Jesus did that for us. But I want to tell you, beloved, you've got riches that thieves can never break through and steal. No grave robbers will ever get into heaven and steal your inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fades not away. Wow. Don't we have a wonderful God and Savior? Y'all think it was worth our time to get over here this morning and worship Him? I do. I'm glad y'all are here. I appreciate y'all coming and listening to an old preacher that loves you all. And I love our Savior. And I love the church. And I'm thankful to have a little part in it. Dear brothers and sisters, may God help all of us to love Him more and to love one another. That's the greatest thing in the world. Listen, there are multimillionaires in this world who are not happy because they don't have any love in their lives. May God help us to grow in our love. Thank you all for your attention.